Welcome to our Spiritual Spotlight series, where we explore the vast and mysterious world of spirituality. Whether you're seeking guidance on your spiritual journey, interested in learning more about different spiritual practices and beliefs, or simply looking for inspiration to deepen your connection with the divine, then this is a show just for you. Join us as we delve into topics such as mindfulness, meditation, manifestation, energy healing, and much more. Our aim is to provide a safe and inclusive space for all listeners to explore their spirituality and connect with like-minded individuals. So grab a cup of tea, get comfortable, and let's journey together on the path of spiritual awakening. Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Spiritual Spotlight series. Today, I am joined by Brent Webb. He is an acclaimed mind power expert and motivational speaker. He has headlined his own programs at hotels, resorts, casinos, cruise ships, and colleges. He has created seminars and training programs for Fortune 500 corporations, including Google, Ford Motor Company, Nabisco, and Hilton Hotels. He has done a lot more, but we want to get to the questions. Brent, thank you so much for coming on this Spiritual Spotlight series. I'm so happy you're here.
It is my pleasure. Thanks.
So let me ask you this. Your journey as a mind power expert and motivational speaker has taken you to various platforms, including hotels, cruise ships, and even the White House. Can you maybe share a pivotal moment or experience that led you to specialize in understanding and harnessing human potential and mind power?
Well, when I was a little kid, I wanted to be a magician. So, you know, yeah, I mean, I was a little pudgy kid.
Hey, I think being a magician is awesome.
Okay. Well, I was an only child, and man, I wanted to be a magician more than anything. And of course, the big magician at the time was David Copperfield,
who I saw him live in Atlanta.
Yeah, he's an amazing person, but it's like, you know, good looking guy, the wind blowing in his hair. And here's this little chubby kid, right? But I was going to do it. So I was always taking out magic books. I was always learning. One day I went to the library. I think I was around 8. And there was a copy of a book called The Magic of Believing that was on the shelf. It had been put back in the wrong place. I took it out thinking it was a magic book. And it was all about the power of belief. And I'm a little 8-year-old kid, but even then I knew, wow, there's really something here that I don't quite understand yet, but there's something to this. So from that point forward, I started really, I'm like a little kid watching like motivational, like those are my heroes. It wasn't like, you know, other magicians or things. It was like, you know, Tony Robbins, that kind of stuff. But so I really started paying so much more attention to mindset and realizing, you know, anything I've ever come up against in my life has been a mindset thing. It doesn't matter. I'm going to affect cancer. I've had, you know, I've been addicted to alcohol and smoking and just one thing after another, but it's really the same thing. It's a mindset thing. So I started working as a mentalist, which is, you know, because again, the mind has always been my specialty. So, but I was out there doing, you know, shows and it was all for entertainment. And then I started meeting people who were really doing this for real and who were able to do amazing things. So it just kind of turned everything for me in my 20s. So I went from, you know, straight performing to this hybrid that I do now, which is good because it kind of, motivational speakers just talk. And the thing about that is you feel like you're being preached to sometimes. So if you can kind of do something that entertains them, right, but still gets the message through, it gets to those people that, you know, aren't usually open to this sort of thing.
I love the fact that you went from like 8 years old to finding this belief book and going to mindset and everything like that. Have you kind of partnered maybe some of that with like your intuitive senses and, you know, maybe your spiritual beliefs or anything like that? Or has it always just been like, this is my mentalist work, this is my mindset work?
No, I mean, I've become so much more spiritual because, of course, you know, I've been meditating morning and evening now for years. Wow. And the change that just that has done. But, you know, the idea, everybody always says, you know, I don't like where I am in my life. Okay. Mm. But they don't realize it's repetition that got you there. It's doing the same bad things over and over and over again. You know, so that's why where we are, you can't just get out of it in a day. So it takes the same thing. It takes, you know, the repetition of doing it, you know, over and over and over again. So it's just, I've always been amazed about human potential. Some, you take two brothers, one brother becomes a multimillionaire and the other becomes homeless. And it's like, how did that happen? They were raised by the same parents. They went to the same school. So that kind of thing has always just motivated me. And like I said, when I saw a monk once, I did a week-long meditation journey in Tibet on a vacation once. And he said, what do you do? And I said, oh, you know, I'm a mentalist. And, you know, and he's like, really? Think of a word. And I'm thinking of a word. He goes, lumberjack. And I mean, that's it. And I am so blown away. And that was another pivotal like move for me. He goes, mind reading is, that's not an impossibility. We're all connected to a universal consciousness. If you are become part of that, what you do on stage for entertainment, you can do for real. And yeah. So again, these, you know, that book was on the shelf for a reason. That wasn't a mistake, obviously. It's like everything in my life has been like that. It's like these synchronicities happen. And when I'm younger, you just kind of, oh, it's a coincidence. And then later, you start to realize, wow, there's something here. So being spiritual, being, you know, I'm a vegan. You couldn't tell right from looking at me, but I am. And
you're hard on yourself.
Well, no, I mean, I'm just honest. I gave up meat, you know, a year and a half ago. Dairy was the hardest, like cheese and stuff.
Oh, but let's not talk again, about that.
Mindset things. So the spirituality I've realized, you know, in meditation, when you're unfolding that, you know, you're hitting that universal consciousness and it you're unfolding it almost into your life. So when you come out of meditation, I've noticed so many impacts from just doing that. People don't get it. Like, because nobody wants to sit with themselves. It's like, you're so afraid because your mind knows everything about you. It knows everything you've ever done. It knows all the horrible things that nobody knows. And it uses them against you every chance it gets, right? You can't do that because remember when you tried to do this, that's what happened. So once you realize that, you know, this is all a big game. That's you're programmed. We're all programmed. You can start breaking free from this. So now this is what I do. I just go around the world. I do programs like this. I do TV show, everything I can do just to say, hey, you've got what you need already inside you. You don't need to walk on hot coals with Tony Robbins. You don't need to buy a $10,000 course. You have it inside. You just don't know how to turn it on.
100% agree with you. I think a lot of people, they get stuck in fear. They like sitting with the darkest aspects of themselves and not wanting to truly look within. They want to look external for all of why is my life shitty? Excuse my language. Why does my life suck? And it's because, oh, well, when I was five, my dad did this to me. And they don't want to take ownership for the part they played in it. It's fascinating.
You got it.
So your focus on mindset and hidden abilities resonates very strongly. Can you maybe elaborate on how, again, our own mindset plays a crucial role in shaping various aspects of our lives, from financial success to meaningful relationships?
Well, like I said, you have to realize that you're programmed. When we are born, we're blank slates, right? We don't have a name, a religion, we're not racist, we're not homophobic, we're nothing like that. Those are programmed behaviors. So what happens is you come into the world, you start being programmed, and they're not doing it, you know, in an evil fashion, but your parents didn't know, right? So you're getting the same generational trauma. You're getting the same what belief system that they have. And then of course you're picking things up from your friends and from your school and from the media, you know, you're not thin enough. You have to be this. Smart people wear this. It's like unbelievable. So by the time you're 10 years old, the programming is set because it's the first 8 years. It's like, I tell people, you've got a tape recorder in your head. It's recording everything you do for 8-9 years. And then all of a sudden one day it stops. And that is the tape that you're stuck with for the rest of your life. So anytime you're on autopilot, that tape is running in your subconscious. And it's things like, you know, I'm too fat. I'm too ugly. I'm too, whatever that is you had ingrained in you. So once you realize that, this is all programming. It's all, do I really even believe this? Right? Because when you're a kid, you go outside and you're playing, and a kid can become a prince and they can become a fireman and they can become Superman. And their imagination is so powerful. If they fall down, they cry. If they're happy, they laugh. We lose all of that. It's like, go to school, get in the desks, start to conform and be like everyone else. And then that is all kind of beaten out of you because they want you to be a cog in the machine. You don't want you to be an independent thinker, an entrepreneur. They want you to be a lawyer, a baker, a whatever, candlestick maker, whatever, you know, become.
Uh-oh. Awesome. Thank you so much. Don't worry. I pause it, guys. So if there's a little pause in our little recording as he was talking about this amazing like topic about being a candlestick maker and how we're all programmed. So this is like media trying to control us right now and say, no, don't think for yourselves. So please continue.
What was the last thing that you heard me say?
If you become a candlestick maker and people are programmed and everything has a loop, and 100% agree with all of that.
Okay. So once you realize that and you know, okay, I'm programmed, we all are. And it's like I said, the tape recording is a great analogy. Also, I tell people it's like you've got a little pad. And so when you're the first 8 years of your life, everything you do, you write down, like everything, you know, everything you do, you're writing down. And then one day you run out of paper. And now for the rest of your life, anytime you want to learn something, do something, feel something, you go back to that little notebook and you use it to figure out how you feel. So it doesn't make any sense. Logic, once you bring logic to all this, it starts to disappear because like anything, it can't hold up to the scrutiny. So you made this when you were a kid. You made it when you were not mature. You were not logical. Some of the things were just to save yourself. They might have been just reflexes. So now it's going to take that awareness to start figuring out what's going on up there. And then you can impact everything from finances to relationship. But it's going to take that awareness first.
It's almost like you have to be able to look, okay, what happened? Do you need to identify the belief system first, or do you need to look at where you were at a child and this incident happened where you developed those beliefs?
No, I always tell people, especially if I don't think you can get to where you would want to be without some form of meditation, because you have to have that connection to yourself. And what I've noticed, one of the greatest things about meditation is many things will alleviate themselves, because it doesn't take somebody. I did a live Q&A last night with some members. I have a Facebook community, and I had some people, somebody asked me, do I have to relive everything over and over to get through it? And I said, no. And that's, of course, a therapist is going to tell you that, because they want you to come every week and pay the $200, and they're going to keep you there for years rehashing your life. And the thing is, when you walk out of that door at 5 o'clock after an hour or whatever, you don't all of a sudden don't have those feelings anymore. You're going to go home feeling the same upset that you conjured up in the office. So a lot of the things disappear with you start doing meditation, and the low hanging fruit will go without you even having to do anything. Right.
So true.
And I tell people too, great things you can do. Eckhart Tolle has a thing, like you're driving, the guy in front of you is driving slowly. You just let it go. It sounds easy, right? But what happens? We're yelling and screaming. The guy's up there driving, oblivious to the fact that we're having a complete, meltdown. We're arguing with him. Yeah. In the back. So those are easy things to let go. Things like that. Or you're going out on a picnic Saturday and it's raining, and now you think the universe hates you and God's against you. No, those are little things you can start to let go. But when you do, it's like, because the emotion and the thought of everything that we do is connected, we store them inside. It takes willpower to do that. So it's like you break up with your boyfriend, okay? Mm-hmm. And you put that away. And he drives a red pickup truck. Every time you see a red pickup truck on the road because of that bad breakup, all the feelings rush back. You don't want to go through it all again, but you do it to yourself over and over, because the thought and the emotion are attached to each other. And it takes willpower to hold. It's like you would think if you didn't want something, you would get rid of it and throw it away. That's not what we do. We don't want it, so we throw it in. It's like we hold it in. Yes. And then it's like anybody who says, oh, don't go there with me. You're getting close. What that means is, right, you're getting close to my stuff, the stuff that makes me uncomfortable. Don't go there with me. So that's your red flag. I love when people say that. I say, that's what you need to look at. Whatever that is that you're so protective of, right? Because again, they don't stand up to the scrutiny. So awareness is the first key. I tell people, get a pack of post-it notes, draw a picture, a happy face, a heart, whatever, on 3 or 4 of them. Put them up around your house. And anytime you see that post-it note, all you have to do is stop what you're doing and find out what's on your mind. Because again, your mind is running on autopilot about 80% of the day.
Yeah.
And out of that 80%, 70% of what we're thinking is negative almost always. So what happens is, as soon as you, okay, I'm stopping. And what's on my mind? Oh, I'm thinking that I'm whatever, or I'm never going to get this done because I'm too lazy, whatever. After a week of doing that, you're going to realize this is all, first of all, a bunch of BS, but second of all, it is almost entirely negative. So again, the awareness will get you almost halfway there. And I think meditation will get you close to the other half. So just being aware that there's a voice in your head, I call it the bitchy roommate. It lives with you rent-free. It's trapped in there with you and it narrates your life. And it tells you all of these horrible things that are going to happen to you or that have happened to you. So when you realize that's just programming, it's just the past, your mind is usually trying to save you. It's there to keep you from, okay, you go out of the cave and there's a lion, right? So now your mind springs into action. Well, now we don't have that problem anymore. So now your mind is worried about what Mary thinks of your dress and what car you're driving because you can't impress the name. That's what starts to happen. Like we're using it for this menial thing. So awareness almost completely. I mean, as soon as you realize, wow, this makes no sense, it'll just start to go. You don't have to relive the trauma. Just have to kind of drag it into the light.
I really liked how you put that we pull things in, the things that we think that we're letting go, we pull them in. Like I've never heard it that way. And it's so true. Like all of the BS and all the everything of what happened. Oh, wow. That's very interesting. It's true. It's a mindset. I mean, right there, just shifted my mind. And I'm like, I've done a lot of mindset work. Like you're right. Like it's all, and I like that. My bitchy roommate, she's got to go. Or just maybe make room for her and be like, okay, that's not true. That's BS.
I mean, I tell people all the time, name the voice in your head. Like the voice in my head, I named that voice Carl. And the reason, again, your mind is such an amazing, fascinating thing, but it can't tell half the time if you're doing something in reality, if you're doing it in your mind, it doesn't know. So what you do to take the sting out of that or the power out of that voice is you give it a name. And you make it a funny name and you don't treat Carl like your equal or like another adult. I treat this voice like a little petulant 6-year-old kid who is just snotty and not happy. And so when you look at it that way and the voice starts, you laugh because it's like, oh, there goes Carl again. And it immediately deflects what happens normally, which is the voice starts and you get sucked into it. And so you don't even realize you're in this drama vortex until it could be a week later. So now this kind of gives you space, you know, before you get pulled in. So naming it is great. Give it a funny name. And then when it starts, you just laugh at it. And again, the power just goes away.
I mean, honestly, that's like you said, it's bringing you so close to really truly shifting your life and shifting your mind, and then you can really truly manifest anything you desire.
Absolutely.
I love that. So you have an amazing list of clients and you've had superstars like Joan Rivers, Chaka Khan, Dolly Parton. How do you integrate your expertise into working with these well-known personalities? And what unique insights can you offer to those seeking to tap into their own hidden abilities?
Well, I can tell you the first celebrities I worked with, Joan Rivers was second, Don Rickles, who was a famous comedian. But I realized very early on that a lot of these celebrities understood mind power. They understood, okay, this is willpower. And I'm holding things in. But anytime you work through something and it doesn't just disappear, what happens is that energy that you were holding that with returns to you every time. If it's a little thing, if it's a big thing, it comes back. So what a successful person does is they take it and they now refocus it, whatever they're working on. Okay. So I just started to realize, wow, Don Rickles, you know, he understands this. Joan Rivers introduced me to Phyllis Diller, who was the first female stand-up comedian. And the first thing she said to me is, oh, I hear you know about the mind. Do you know about the magic of believing? And I said, that's the book that changed my life. She said, that's the book that changed my life too. And she said, I wouldn't be a comedian. I was a single mother of five with a lazy husband who wouldn't work, didn't have a job. I read that book for 3 years. I underlined it. I dog-eared the pages until I could get this concept in my mind. And she said, it transformed my life. And to her dying day, a lot of interviews, if you go on YouTube and you search her name and the magic of believing, she's talking about that book 50 years after the author died, just because it did so much for her. So I started to realize a lot of celebrities at least understand a concept of this, especially when I work with athletes. Kobe Bryant, those people know about laser focus. They know how to get rid of everything else and focus all their, you know, their life force energy, their willpower on one thing. So I've opened for a lot of celebrities. I've done that and I've worked a lot of places, but it's working one, like, let me, I'm trying to think of the last celebrity. Whitney Cummings, I think, was the last person. I did kind of a one. So I don't do a lot of that. Yeah. It's usually like a big, you know,
seminar,
but it, I just noticed that you have to, celebrities have that thing that, which I guess I had too, where you get up in front of people, you almost need the applause, whatever, but and Phyllis Diller said, you know, you have to be audacious, which means you have to be willing to take these risks, which is what somebody who puts themselves out there, an actor or an actress has the worst job. Because I mean, they're going to these, especially when you're starting, right? No, you're too old. You're too young. You're too fat. You're too scared. I mean, it's nothing but rejection.
Right.
So if you can't accept that, right? So I think that kind of hardens who they are, especially somebody like a comic who came up in that era. She was the first female stand-up, Phyllis Diller. So imagine being the first woman, what she had to put up with. So it somehow hardens you, but it also gives you, you know, you realize, wow, taking these risks pays off, you know? So I just, when I'm working with those kind of clients, you see a different kind of mindset. It's mm-hmm. like they understand. Regular people are worried about their everyday life. A celebrity has a nanny and they have a business manager and they have a this and a that. Somebody's picking up the kids, walking the dogs, cooking the food. They don't have a lot of those same things that we do.
Right.
So they're able to, you know, take the mindset and focus it. But any of us can do it. You just have to learn how to take some time for yourself.
Right. And like you're saying, is almost develop a daily spiritual hygiene practice of meditating. And then let me ask you this, like, do you recommend any type of meditation, or is it any type of meditation, as long as you're doing it, you can shift out your mind?
Well, I've done so many over the years. You know, what I do now is I do one set, which is transcendental meditation, yeah, which I do twice. Okay. I'm Buddhist. I chant. I do all of that. My practice is in the morning. We're talking like an hour and a half, because I have, you know, journals everywhere. So I do a page of gratitude every morning. And then I do a page of scripting where I'm just script. And it's funny, I went back and read some of these from years ago, and mm-hmm. I literally scripted my life. I mean, what I was reading there was what I was living now.
Wow.
And it was crazy, because, you know, you don't even remember writing that stuff. But if you do it every day, you know, you write it like it's, people don't get that idea that you have to experience it like it's happening. Because what happens is you start going, I want this in the future. And it is always ahead of you. Mm-hmm. It's never where you are. So you're always chasing it. And right. It's the same thing with happiness. It's the same thing. All of those things are inner things. Remember, I talked about the two worlds, yes, right? You can't go in the outer world and get and buy love. You can't go out and try to find a bag of confidence, right? You have to give those to yourself first. But we have it completely wrong. It's like when I meet the guy that I'm meant to be with, I'll be happy. When I get the job that I want, then I'll finally be, it's always that. And then yes, you're always one step behind happiness, right?
Yeah.
So again, it's just awareness to learn these things for yourself.
Yeah. And let me ask you this, because you brought this up, you write a gratitude list every single day. What do you feel is the power of having an attitude of gratitude?
Well, I mean, the feeling that you get, because everything again is part of that feeling. Law of attraction is a real thing, but the problem is everyone thinks, you know, oh, they've all read The Secret. So they think, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I want a Ferrari. I'm going to go sit down on the sofa and I'm going to eat Doritos and I'm going to visualize a Ferrari and I'm going to see myself riding in it and all of that stuff. And then I'm going to watch Netflix. There's nothing else, right? You have to create this vivid image. You have to feel this vivid, but then you have to start moving towards right. it. That's how synchronicities happen, not sitting on your sofa. So there's always that step missing, which is that action step, which is that, you know, living it. You know, right. living in that, going to sleep at the last thing before you go to bed at night, people are ruminating over all the horrible things that happened to them that day. They're worried about all the things they're going to do tomorrow instead of thinking about the life they want, right? Feeling it, getting themselves into that feeling, then going to sleep. And like Wayne Dyer used to say, you're going to marinate for 8 hours. So what do you want to marinate on? You have your subconscious going, and if it's going with all the horrible stuff, and all, you're going to wake up tomorrow and it's going to be a continuation of the bad day you had before. So you go to sleep that way, because gratitude, when you feel it, you get more things to be grateful for. I found that so true in my life. You know, when I feel gratitude, really feel it for the things I have now, then I get more things, you know, not just physical things. I mean, more of the things that I want in life, whether it be love, you know, friendship, whatever. Just because you're grateful. If you have that attitude where, you know, you're entitled, where everyone thinks the universe is about them. It's been going on for billions of years, but somehow it's about you. If you step back from that and go, look, it's unfolding in front of me, but if I don't like it, I can fix it, but I have to accept it. A lot of people won't accept the moment. It's like, I don't like this. I don't want this. So it's just so screwed up. It's like, live in the moment and be aware of what's going on, and everything else will fall into place.
I totally agree with you. And I think you're also bringing up a very important point, is that you also are shifting the energy. So when you are in the vibration of being more grateful and, you know, appreciating the things in your life, you said it opens up your energetic field to bring more things into your life. When we're in this rumination of negativity and my life sucks and this and that, you're bringing that energy into your life and more things are going to be terrible because you're like, hey, universe, that's what I want. Bring it. Like, and it's, you're right. We get stuck in this vicious cycle of, I don't, but we don't do anything to change it, you know? And yeah. I, like you, every night before I go to bed, I go through my gratitudes and all this stuff. And I'm like, thank you so much. I appreciate this. I will say, I feel so much better. Like, I wake up and I'm like, yeah, day, right. You know, it's so different. I just started probably doing this last couple of months and I'm like, wow, you know, the power of just being grateful. I'm like, you know, because I'm a registered nurse and I run a doctor's office. I'm like, I'm so grateful that I can breathe and my lungs expand and like, you know,
yeah.
But I'm great. I'm always grateful for trees and whatnot, but it's such a, I like how you're like, okay, you got to take awareness to it. But you also need to be in action. And I think you're right. A lot of people get stuck in, well, I'm going to think it. So therefore it's going to happen. And like, what advice do you give somebody who is maybe stuck, like they want to shift, but they refuse to get into action?
Well, first of all, know what it is that you want. People tell me all the time, oh, what do you want? I want to be rich. Okay. That's never going to work, right? You have to have like a clearly defined end game that you can visualize, you know, an anchor image. I tell people, have an image you can go to. You're standing in line at the bank. You go to that anchor image. You get the feeling of what that'll feel like. But you have to know what you want. So have the goal, you know, you got to know where you're going, right? Yeah. But then you have to be able to let it go. Because the other thing people do is, when's it coming? 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 Right? You order something from Amazon, you don't get on the phone and go, hey, when's it coming? When's it coming? You don't. You just, it arrives, right?
You have to shipping.
You disconnect from that, because then it starts, your mind's going, oh, how, this has to happen for that to happen. And this, you start doing all these things. You have no idea how it can happen. So you have to have the goal, but then you disconnect from the goal. You know, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to sweat about it, because that feeling you're going to generate, just like you said, when I have an aunt who's so negative, right? And she was married to somebody who was also negative. So it's like a negativity vortex. They're feeding off each other. They go through the drive-thru at the car wash, and the window comes down somehow, fills the car with soap. Who does that happen to? Only somebody who is negative all the time. No, it's true. But like, the things that happen, it's like unbelievable, because you're living in that frequency of those low vibrations. And I tell people too, you've got finite life force energy every day. So if you know that, be careful who you give it to. You know, you walk out in the street and you see your friend, and it's one of those people that goes, hey, how are you? And you say, oh, I'm great. How are you? And they go, oh, and they tell you the story, right? That's an energy vampire. Yep. They're going to suck all the free life force energy they can from you, and they're going to leave. So when you realize this is really valuable, this is like gold, you don't give it away to everyone, because you just don't. Because what you can do with that life force energy is transform your life. You can really change your existence. But what we're doing is holding stuff in that we don't need anymore and giving it away to everybody else. And we have a very small sliver left for our day. So once you realize, wow, this is really valuable, you're just more careful who you give it to. Excellent. And again, awareness, that'll all fall into place. You know, you'll know who an energy vampire is, because you want to go to bed after you talk to them. It's somebody that makes you so tired. You're like, you know, you're ready to go to sleep. You'll start to see these people in your life you maybe didn't see before. And you'll go, wow, you know, that's my aunt. That's my mom. That's my brother, whoever. Right in my family, I didn't realize that. You'll start to see these things because you don't have all this crap in you, like a mental hoarder. Like, we hoard all this crap in our bodies.
We hoard a lot. Absolutely. I totally agree with you. So let me ask you this. Motivation and inspiration are central to your work. How do you keep yourself consistently motivated and inspired? And what practices do you personally engage in? I know you do meditation and whatnot, to engage to maintain your own mindset for success and personal growth.
Well, motivation and inspiration are fine. And I know so many people are in that space. The problem with that is Tony Robbins, who I love, but it's like you're walking on coals and you're walking on fire and you're doing all this stuff for the weekend. And then it's Tuesday and it's Thursday and you're out of it.
Yeah,
because it doesn't last. You can't create that sort of momentum and expect somebody to carry that into their life. It very rarely happens. So you have to create rituals, people call them. I don't think it's a ritual. It's more of you're doing repetition. Like I said, repetition is so important. So no matter what I'm doing every morning, I'm absolutely going to be I'm going to be journaling a page on gratitude. I'm going to be scripting a page. I'm going to be doing transcendental meditation. Okay. I'm going to be chanting. I'm going to be, listening to affirmations. I'm going to be doing my morning routine every morning. Then I'm going to go outside and walk. I don't want to do that, but I'm going to go do it. So I'm going to, because the repetition of it, your mind is such an evil thing. I mean, think about this. Nobody has ever killed themselves without their mind telling them to. I mean, that's how much your mind can become your enemy if you let it take hold. True. It's just not used to us being in charge. Your mind is used to being like a crazy gorilla in a cage up there, and you're just kind of, slumped down in the background. When you start to assert this control, the mind doesn't want to be controlled. So it's going to do everything it can. That's how the repetition of routine will beat that, because it's going to go, my mind now just goes, okay, I'm just going to sit back here and let him do this. Obviously, the guy's not going to let me out of this. He does it every morning. That's what it takes. It's just repetition of the same thing. And now you said earlier, one thing I didn't say, the meditation I recommend people do if they've never done is take a mantra. One thing we teach in our seminars is we call it the Filoli meditation, which is Filoli, which is fight for what you believe in. Love your fellow man, live the life of your dreams, right? It doesn't matter that's what it means to me, but the word itself is kind of a nonsensical word.
Right.
That's what you want. Because if you're thinking ice cream cone in your mind, you're thinking about ice cream and eating.
Yeah,
That's what happens. You need a word that doesn't conjure up all these images. So you sit down. I tell people sit in a chair, feet flat on the floor, hands on your lap, and just close your eyes, take a few deep breaths, and just start repeating that mantra. It's all you got to do. It's literally that easy. Anytime your mind goes to anything else, you just pull it back to the mantra with no anger at yourself or, you're mad at yourself and without getting sucked into whatever the mind is thinking as well. You just constantly pull it back. And eventually, with repetition, your mind gets used to it. So it's going to take time doing this, just like it took time to get you here.
Right.
There is no magic bullet. There is no pill. There is nothing you can just magically wave on yourself to make it happen. You've got to do some work. But at the end of it, I mean, you can completely be the person you were meant to be. I think we're all given a passion and we're meant to be something. But so many of us, we're afraid of that risk. So we just take whatever, is available.
But it also makes it, more attainable by having a routine. And just being consistent, like every morning, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be consistent and I'm going to have a routine and I'm going to commit to improving myself. Like that to me is almost takes the pressure off. It's amazing. Like you said, you might not be motivated to do it, but you're going to push through it and you're just going to do it.
Yeah. You just know that you're going to do it no matter what. I was just in Japan a couple of months ago, New Zealand. I mean, I fly all over the world still. And I'll tell you, if I have to get up and make a 5 o'clock flight, I'll be up at 2 a.m. so I can start. I will. Because, I almost have a bet going with myself, because I used to be the kind of person who would, I was such a, where I would just put off everything. I was such a procrastinator. Mm-hmm. So now I almost dare myself to not do it because that's what it takes. It just takes repetition. It's not like somebody saying, go into a cave and meditate for the next 6 months nonstop. It doesn't take that kind of thing. It just takes some awareness of the real you, the inner you, to kind of break this shell open. And then everything starts kind of pouring out of that.
That is, and you're right about motivation and about like, it's almost like an inspiration. Like those go in waves. Like there's going to be days where I'm just like, oh, it's dark, it's gloomy, but I'm going to have a consistent routine that's going to help me to have a better outlook on life.
Right.
I love that. So Brent also has a free book online. It is the Brent Webb's Mind Power Secrets, 5 Steps to the Perfect Mindset. That is located on your website, I believe.
That is on successsecrets.net. It's a real easy read. I don't know what that is, 50, 60 pages, but it's all about, just 5 simple things. If you're watching this and you don't know where to start, You know, so many people write me and they say, I want to do this. I just have no idea where to start.
Yeah.
This is a great way because it just gives you the five things you can kind of do right now, start implementing them into your life. Or take what we said during this video as well. Just do something. If you're making any kind of progress towards your goals, you're being successful. You know, it's when you're sitting, we're all sitting down watching Netflix. I try not to do anything anymore that doesn't do something for me. In other words, if I'm out walking, I'm listening to a book on tape. Nice. I'm not listening to, you know, 80s rock, which I love, but I'm listening to, you know, I listened to The Magic of Believing this morning, as a matter of fact. Wow. So which you can get that. That's another book that you can get online for free. I mean, there it's available everywhere. You know, you can find a free copy of audiobook. Just do something today, you know, and you'll start to make that change.
And if anyone is interested in more inspiration from you, I know you have, what is the name of your Facebook community?
The best way, yeah, if you go to brentsgroup.com, there's no apostrophe, but it's okay. brents group.com. You can get an invite to the group. It's a free Facebook community, but it's private because we're really selective. We want people in there who, you know, are motivated to make this change so that we don't allow spam in there. We don't, you know, it's, we turn down 5 for every 6 that come in.
Wow.
So seriously, because it's not about create, you know, I'm not selling anything to anyone in there. Yeah. We just want the right kind of motivated people. And also it's a community where people help each other. So if you go to brentsgroup.com, you can get a free invite. You can come in and you can see for yourself, you know, that you don't have to go out and buy a $10,000 course to start making the change. You can do it right now.
And if anyone is interested in like maybe taking one of your seminars or anything like that, what is the best place for them to go to?
For anything like that, just go to brentweb.com. Just that's okay. My main website, kind of the hub, but brentweb.com, and you know, send me an email. And if you're out there watching and you have a question about something I said today, or I'll answer you. It's, you know, I mean, I have a team of people, but I try to, if somebody asks me a question and I have any time at all to answer it, I'm going to answer it. So if you think that you want to do this and maybe you're thinking, I don't understand this, you know, concept, you know, send me an email, but you know, you can do this. I promise you. If you're watching this today, you can make these changes.
No, that is beautiful. Brent, I want to say thank you so, so much for coming to the Spiritual Spotlight series. It is a joy to learn from you. And honestly, like, I'm so excited. I have so many things I have to do now.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Anytime you need me, I'll be there.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope that you found the episode to be enlightening and insightful. Our goal is to create content that not only entertains, but also helps you grow spiritually and connect with your inner self. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, we would greatly appreciate if you could take a moment to like, subscribe, and write a review. Your feedback is incredibly valuable to us and helps us to improve the quality of our content and to reach a wider audience. We believe that by sharing knowledge and insights about spirituality, we can help inspire positive change and personal growth. So if you found our podcast to be meaningful and informative, we encourage you to share it with your friends and family. Thank you once again for your support and for joining us on this journey of self-discovery and spiritual growth. We look forward to sharing more episodes with you in the future.